So we have this thing about Gift Day, which is sort of a period. Really, it's a period of time, but we have a sort of focus. When we talk openly about giving, and giving within Glendale, we usually share something to think about, perhaps a challenge. And the way that I'm coming at it this morning is not like whatever it comes out like, I'm not preaching, okay? I'm sharing what I sense God wants to say to us, and that includes me. Joel started off in a similar way to that last week. Joel's harvest message last week was wonderful. God's abundant giving. God gives abundantly, and he read the whole of Psalm 104, which is just amazing. It just shows the sort of the flood, the outpouring of God's grace in everything over the world. And if you haven't heard that message, you should go to the church website and listen to it, I think. It's really worth listening to. And how despite God's generosity and abundance, you know, we're looking at that second cake and can't think about anything else but that second cake. And that was a particular illustration that Joel used, which stuck out for me. I don't know why it stuck out for me. Okay, so I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 14, and then I'm going to speak through it, a method that I sometimes use. And I'm going to bring other scriptures to bear. And I want us to hear what God is saying through his word. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's just read it. I'm coming in at verse 6, because that's the passage that I have. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. That's the title. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they've freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. It's worth reading Psalm 112. I thought about it. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Well, this is continuing where we've been in worship, and especially with that little word that Joel shared with us. Absolutely right, bang on. Now, I want just to share Acts 17:24 with us as we go into the passage, and then I want to give a lead in, as I'm calling it. This is Acts 17:24. Ties in with Psalm 104, where we were last week. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. For in him we live and move and have our being. So here's a lead into our passage. It's quite fun, I think. In chapter 8, we see the driving motive and inspiration for all our giving as followers of Christ. Okay? The driving motive and inspiration for all our giving as followers of Christ. It's found in these words that Paul expresses, as we have it in chapter 8, verse 9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And in verses 16 to 24 of chapter 8, we find that Paul, along with Titus and A.N. Other, who's not named, were collecting money for needy believers in Jerusalem. The Corinthians, whose this letter is written to that we're looking at this morning, a largely non-Jewish church, that's significant, very significant for these guys here, had promised a generous gift for these Jerusalem Christians, who were mainly Jewish. And Paul had been visiting other churches and boasting of this love and generosity of the Corinthians to other groups of believers, who then gave generously. Do you know, guys, the Corinthians have promised £2 million. Wow! The Corinthians, they're mostly Gentiles. Well, if they can give that, we'll give 5. And so the guys were going round and collecting money from the churches and sharing this news about the promise that the Corinthians had given. And you can see at the beginning of chapter 9 that Paul's just a little tiny bit nervous about this, because the Corinthians haven't given it yet. You know, what if? What if it doesn't turn up? What are all these other guys going to say? You said you did that to make us give more, and look what's happened. You were making it up. So in verses 1 to 5, you can sort of sense Paul's nervousness as he's sort of urging the Corinthians to keep their promise. I don't think it is that he doubts them. I think it's that he's just feeling a little bit wobbly inside, and he wants to remind them about their promise and really encourage them to live up to their intention and fulfill that promise. And so in doing so, he comes to verse 6, which is what we're looking at this morning. So here we are, having had a lead-in. Verse 6. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Well, let's not make a big thing of this. It's just a truism in agriculture. If you throw out a lot of seed, you get a lot back. If you throw out little seed, you'll get little back. The more you sow, the more you'll gather. And by using this image, Paul is suggesting that it's the same with charitable giving. The more you give, the more fruit you'll see from your giving. The more mean you are, the less you give, the less fruit you'll see for your giving. I think that's a truism. I'm not going to expand it, but we'll come perhaps to expand it a little bit later to think of examples. In verse 7, he says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So, simply, the amount that we give is to be decided in our heart. The heart, in Scripture, is the control centre. It's the control centre. It's not just the seat of emotions. It involves thinking as well. It's the seat of thought as well as emotion. So what Paul is saying is that this charitable giving is done willingly, generously, and cheerfully. There's no set amount like in the Old Testament with tithing. Many Christians do choose to tithe today, but that's not asked for. It's the amount that in our hearts we feel we want to give. Willingly, generously, cheerfully, not at all reluctant. And it's motivated by our love for God and our neighbour. And Joel was right on this when he was talking about the generosity of God and the fact that God wants us to love him and love our neighbour and not keep all that is the result of his generosity, but give it. It's motivated by our love for God and our neighbour, and it is a joy. It's an absolute joy. Now, verses 8 to 11 together. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they freely scatter their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now I've actually heard with my own ears live and people talking about the blessing of giving, that if you give, God will give back to you, you know, and it's sort of a bit motivating, this idea. Okay, if I do that, then God will perhaps give back to me, and I won't lose out for all that I give, but I'll be blessed, you know, with even more. I don't think that's what Paul is saying at all. I do think it's not very easy to tease out, perhaps, exactly what he's saying. The language isn't all that straightforward, but this is how I'm reading it. The abundant blessing of God is not tied to our giving. It's available to all through the gospel. And there are many scriptures to support this. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. We've already read that once. We'll go back to it. All that we have, physical and spiritual, comes from God in the first place. Romans 8:32. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Ephesians 1:7-8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. God has nothing more to give than what he's given in his Son. We don't experience God's blessing because we give. No. We give because we've experienced God's blessing. And as we live in the truth of this, as we keep in step with the Spirit, we find joy in blessing others with the blessings with which we have been blessed. It's like we become channels of God's grace, of God's generosity, of God's abundance. His abundance flows out through us as we are conscious of receiving it. And this fulfills God's purpose of bringing in his kingdom through his people, the church. And it leads to thanksgiving, which Joel expressed so very, very poignantly and well. And verses 12 to 14. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you've proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. This thanksgiving that comes out of the giving of God's people, it spreads. It leads others to praise God. It creates an environment in which goodness flourishes beyond anything that money can ever buy. Loving generosity has a ripple effect. Giving might be secret, but the consequences are so often very widely known. And now, just because we need this point to go home, we could think of some examples. So I think probably the biggest project that I was involved with, and I did see it as a project that was done because of the blessing of God, was at my school. When, with the chairman of governors, who some of us know, we finally said we were going to go for it. And we were going to go for a new hall. It would be so good for the school. It would be so good for the worship of the school and for all sorts of other things in the school. We were going to go for it. And we knew we had to raise £1.5 million. And we went to the governors and we told them. And some of them said we were mad. We had some ideas of some wealthy people that we would go to in the neighbourhood. As it happened, the money didn't come from them. But the money came in. And, you know, it was really fun. It was very, very scary at first because we stuck our necks out, said we're going for it. And the governors had to all agree. So it was like the governors were putting this project out. And really, you know, there were two of us who were being rebuked by some of the governors. And slowly the money began to come in. And as the money began to come in, people got excited. And other people wanted to be part of the giving. And then other people wanted to be part of the giving. And then we had a big gift. And everybody was excited to hear we had that big gift. And so on, until the money was raised. And the amount that the diocese was going to put towards it was opened up, and there's the hall out at Bradfield Primary School, and it is being used still. And I go past it and I look at that hall and I look at the children in it who don't know anything about how it came about, and it does give me such a wonderful sense of pleasure and joy. It's amazing. What about here? You know, we've joined up with a little dying church. And in effect, we've been given a building. You know, we've been given a building. We talk about going for a building and praying for a new building. We've been given a building in Thatcham. Look, we're pretty full and people are really loving coming here for worship. There's a great sense of God's presence here. You know, we've got our teenagers coming along here Sunday mornings now. Why are they coming along Sunday mornings? This has been a gift. We paid nothing for it. And with the money that was in the pot, we were able to change the whole environment. And with money that was given after that, we were able to develop the kitchen and the back room. And this morning, we've had Rachel standing up and telling us about 20, 30 young people coming in on Fridays. And we're sort of thinking, wow, that's brilliant. Well, what about the people who gave the money for it? You know, it's rippled out. There were some secret donations. They were significant. And then we had more from public bodies because other people had given and they sort of double it. And that money, that cash that's gone into it, now we're loving it because we're seeing the gospel spread Friday mornings, during the week, all the opportunities that we have. Look what can happen with people's generosity, and look at all of the joy and the thanksgiving that comes out of it. It's really amazing. It's got this ripple effect. And you can think of examples in your own life when sometimes somebody's been generous to you. It might not have been by a gift of money. It might have been some other way. And you've really appreciated it. And you've thought, whoa, that's just amazing. And you haven't given away who it was because they wanted to do it secretly. But you've told a friend, somebody gave me this. Isn't that amazing? And they say, yes, amazing, isn't it? That's really amazing. And there's this sense of thanksgiving and release of joy and gratitude. And you tie those things together, and giving becomes a great pleasure, a huge pleasure. You give because it's wonderful to give, because you're setting ripples going, because you're spreading the gospel. And then finally, Paul has this little outburst of praise. He's just in his own little world, I think. Because he doesn't really say exactly what it is. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And you know that Paul means it. You just know what Christ means to Paul. You know what the gift of God means to Paul. He's saying this from his heart. He's been roused by his writing to the Corinthians and thinking of their generosity. They're going to give it. All the other churches have given. And he just pours out his thanks to God. And look at the work that Paul does. He's encouraged by giving. We're encouraged in leadership by giving. Not because we want money, but because we want to do God's work. Because we want to spread the gospel in the kingdom. And what's Paul saying? Well, it just takes us back to that verse that I started off with. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor, so that through his poverty, you might become rich. God's indescribable gift. So a final word. You know, we come into the world as we leave it, empty-handed. Every one of us, every human being. In Glendale, we're a mixed community. We're blessed with a wide range of gifts and talents, none of which we gave ourselves. If I had somebody who was getting a bit too big for their boots around the football pitch or whatnot because they got into the county team, I would sometimes find it necessary to have a quiet word, and I'd say, where did that ability come from? Did you buy it? Did you do anything to earn it? No, Mr. Howe. There's a lot of people here who would love that. You've been given it. Use it. You're doing well. Great. Fantastic. Go on. Do better. But it's a gift that's been given to you. You did nothing to earn it. So don't think that you're any bigger than anybody else. We all have varied opportunities to develop our gifts. Some of us have great opportunities. Some of us have very few. We all have different opportunities, some great, some poor, to acquire wealth. But in what sense does what I own belong to me? And in what sense does it belong to God and others who he loves? As God's people, as the body of Christ, as those who are involved in glorifying him and extending his kingdom, let's open ourselves to being the means of pouring out God's blessing on others. And we are doing it. There is so much to be encouraged about in the giving in Glendale. There is so much to be encouraged about. This isn't about beating people over the heads. It's about sharing what I feel the Lord is saying to us all. It's not a guilt trip. It's not to put pressure. But let's open ourselves to be the means of pouring out God's blessing on others. God's kingdom is a place of generosity. It's a place of giving. It's a place of serving one another. It's a place of serving our community. It's a place of reaching out. We have this reach, heal, prepare. It's about reaching out. It's about bringing healing through the gospel. It's about preparing people for service. It's not about being caught up in earthly treasures. It's about life. Life in all its fullness. Now. Eternal life, giving without counting the cost.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Andy, and thank you, God, for speaking. I'm just going to spend a 3 or 4, maybe 5 minutes talking through some practicalities of things. And I love actually that passage that you read, Andy, because it feels a little bit like coming down to earth after hearing what you've shared. But that passage is very much a discipleship issue. It's also a very much a practicalities issue. You know, there's a need in the church in Jerusalem, and you know, Paul has been very practical as well as bringing some real teaching into people's discipleship. And so, yeah, we've got a journey of living and learning to trust God, learning to prioritize him and his kingdom, living for him and what that means for us personally. And this idea of it's what you feel God speaking to you and your heart to give. There are no rules around that. That's for us to listen to what God is saying. But there are some practical needs. And so I'm going to mention some. There will be some actual figures that I'll talk about and some practical ways that we can respond to that just in terms of the life of Glendale Church. So what is the need? So there's two aspects, really, that we are looking at. One of them is, and Andy has mentioned it already, the feeling that we need to be raising capital in a building fund for a bigger premises. And we've had, it's been over a year now, about a year ago we had some potential early conversations with a building on Hanbridge Road, which didn't step forward, and that was really the key issue, was that there were some practicalities around it, and the biggest one being we didn't really have a seat at the table because we didn't have a deposit or the funding in place. And so there's been a team that's been working together, a steering group really, property search group, that's been looking at what is it that we need in terms of the requirements of location or of venue size, of different aspects of a building that we would be looking for, so that we're not just looking for, you know, a corrugated iron shack in Woolhampton or something. You know, we want to have a very clear idea of what it is that we feel God is leading us to, and also what are some of the things that need to be in place for us to be ready and have a seat at the table and actually make some decisions. So part of that, a significant part of that, is having a substantial amount of money in the building fund, which means that we're ready to proceed if we see the right thing. So be praying about that, and just see if there's a figure that God lays on your heart to sow into that. If you have any questions about it, we've been feeling it for quite a while on the leadership team. We brought it to the wider leadership in December last year, so all of trustees, council and life group leaders, we were in here, we just shared our heart on it. And there was, unanimous support and feeling of oneness in this is something that we feel God is saying. So that's something to really bear in mind. So there's an opportunity to give into the building fund. And then on a different note, so there is the meeting the needs of the revenue budget. And I'll explain this a little bit because just to be quite clear, what we've done in the last few years is where we've had new things and new initiatives, projects that we've been praying about and thinking about. So things like Replenish, the Youth Cafe, Cap Life Skills, and various things that have quite a significant cost to them. And they've been new things, and we're like, let's believe that God is going to move in these areas, and let's sow into these things on gift day. And those things, the money that's come in on gift day has been used for some of those things. Obviously, a big thing was the shelter from a couple of years ago that's up there now. That was £7,000 that we paid at the end of August to have that put up. But some of the revenue projects that we run, so Replenish, Youth Cafe, Cap Life Skills, having a needs fund, Alpha, and various other things, they are things which have been new projects. But to be honest, they are now, they're bread and butter Glendale Church activities. They're things that we do on a month-to-month basis. They're not special projects. They're not things that we need to be raising money for on gift day. They are things that should be covered by regular bread and butter income into the church, and they're currently not. And, you know, we really feel that the gift day ask and the thing that we're really believing for is for raising money for a building fund. But the other opportunity really is, well, let's see if we can close the revenue gap. So if the month-to-month expenses of the church, there's probably a roundabout, as we, Neil and I are going to be meeting in a couple of weeks, and we're working out the 2025 budget, and I've done some early work on that, and Excel spreadsheets tell me that monthly income needs to increase by £1,500. You might go like, "Oh, that's a lot." You know, when we meet with the trustees, we'll figure out a balanced budget, because we have a responsibility to do that. But we want all the things that we aspire to, all the things that we believe God is leading us to, which includes bringing in, hopefully, Daniela into a paid part-time internship role starting next year. And so there's a significant uplift in the monthly income, core bread and butter monthly income, that needs to happen if we want to see all the things happen in 2025 that we believe God is speaking to us about. So there's a little form, and we've got someone there, we've got some in the seat backs, and this, it says, to enable us to develop the budget for 2025, and also we're thinking about the building project, if you are able to participate in Gift Day, you can do so in either of the following ways. So as my contribution to 2024 Gift Day, I would like to make a one-off donation of blah. And then it's circle, so enclosed or online or by the card machine or to follow in cash or check or via Church Suite, which is the little QR code online. So that's the one-off gift. And then, or increase my monthly giving from the 1st of November by blah. And so if, for example, you currently you give £50 a month and you feel actually I could give up 3 cappuccinos in a month, so therefore and go to 65 or whatever. Just have a think about if there is a way that you can increase that monthly giving, then you could just put that there. Please, if you're doing that, this form, particularly the bottom half of this form, we're actually going to be using it when we're putting the budget together for next year. So what we need is an idea, an indication of what is income going to look like next year. So if you are going to put anything on there, let's say it is that £50 and you're going to increase to 65, just put 15 on there. Don't put the amount that's different, the increase, so that we can have get a feel for, okay, what is it that we're going to have the financial capacity to do next year? Does that make sense? Please... I know that's a very practical thing, and sometimes it feels a little bit awkward talking about money stuff, but actually, you know, it's a charity. If I was a chief executive of a charity, I'd feel no embarrassment about talking about money, more so really as the leader of a church, because the Bible is all full of talk about giving into God's kingdom. So, Lord, I just pray that in all that Andy has shared and what you have spoken to us this morning about discipleship and just thinking about the practicalities of that and what that looks like in our day-to-day and the choices that we make. And Lord, we thank you for Glendale Church. We thank you for all that we are able to do in building your kingdom. Thank you for our staff. Thank you for the £15,000 that we're able to give away to our mission partners each year. We thank you for the work of Coins and for the work of CAP and all that we do locally with that, for all that happens in this building, for all that we do at Wash Common, for our life groups, for the pastoral care that takes place in this church, Lord. Reaching into the needs of people and communities and schools and we want to be obedient to you and we want to be effective. We want to be fruitful in the work of your kingdom. So I pray that you would stir our hearts and that you would help us to be obedient to you. So we're going to worship. What we'll do actually, because normally we pass the bags around, but what we'll do this morning is this is beautiful silver box. So if you want to give via this beautiful, if you've got a cash gift or the card machines there, the little cards